Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 319 on March the 10th. And Creekside with Don and Jan is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
It is. And we keep telling ourselves that we need to remember to say these things every time, so we make a part of our mantra, then we've got it covered.
I think we're doing a good job.
Okay, yeah, indeed. We have a guest today, and our guest is longtime friend and erstwhile television, he was a television special performer on Doomsday Preppers.
Right.
Along with his wife, Amanda. And
back in the day.
Back in the day.
Well, let's go ahead and bring you in, Keith, and you can help us. When were you on Doomsday Preppers? Do you remember?
That was, I have to ask Amanda, that was 3 years ago. No, that's been more than that. We were just married. Yeah, we were more. So, yeah, so that's been 5 years.
So newlyweds and TV fame.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
Back to back. And then in between that, you found us and sent in some articles, and you've been writing for us off and on, and now recently more steady back again with your column, 52 Weeks to Self-Reliance.
Well, yeah, that's kind of, that kind of took a left turn on us.
It took a left turn on us partially because we used to produce the magazine every month, and now we produce it every other month, and you're still 52 weeks in it.
I know. I'm like, I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, but you get a twofer.
Yeah, that way. You know?
Well, and the whole idea is that you're showing our readers that they can be self-reliant and take it a step at a time.
Oh, yeah. This I call this stuff sitting here on the table. You know, it's their story behind all this. And as before the show, when we were talking, the guy that says, prepping is expensive. First of all, let's get clear there. I'm not a prepper. I'm cheap. cheap.
There's a giant difference.
Thrifty.
There's a giant difference between being prepared and being cheap. But both of them have the same outcome.
So that's when, when we were sitting around one day, I think we were all sitting around in the old office down there kicking around something besides prepper. We came up with self-reliance, self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And I think it's on the banner on the paper.
We started out that way, self-reliant.
So,
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I remember kicking it around. Who knows? But anyhow, all these little jars, being prepared is not expensive. It's very inexpensive. You just have to evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonably make reasonable plans and a reasonable schedule, and pretty much everything falls in place.
Well, and so tell our listeners what you have sitting in front of us here.
Well, I have there's this whole countertop full. First, there's the adult beverage. We won't talk
about
you
that. You did not brew that. Everything else on the table you made.
So here we have a jar of dried leafy green things, leeks.
And I can personally attest, these leeks are marvelous. They're sweet. They are they're crunchy, and then they suddenly melt in your mouth, and it's like, well, where'd that come from?
Well, and part of the reason we wanted to have you talk about this and that you brought us your samples is because at our Earth Day, the Owl Creek Way, you're going to be there speaking about dehydrating food. And you've talked about it in the magazine before. So you brought us, and we've got taste testing going on here.
Yeah, the leeks, the tomatoes, here's some peppers, apples, potatoes, more apples, grapes, sourdough starter, onions, watermelons. I see there's some eggshells over there. Yes, I do them in the dehydrator. Bananas, more tomatoes, and yellow squash.
And I've had both flavors of grapes, and they're so good. They put the raisins that you buy at the store to shame.
They will. Mm-hmm. They will. And so little background there. When the guy told me it says prepping is expensive, that's really how you figure that. Well, jars are expensive, and you need to get pictures maybe. But like this jar that the tomatoes are in is Brennan's Sweet and Hot Pepper Relish. It's a recycled jar.
Not only that, it's also a mason jar.
Yes, it is. It can be reused too.
Yeah.
And then the leeks are in a Tito's jar. And then an olive jar has peppers, and we got Classico for
major sauce.
Yeah, a jar for these fruits, and these fruits is another. So, you know, it's just evaluating, making a plan you can, you know, reasonable plan, and then making a reasonable schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Everything falls in place pretty much.
Well, I think you were saying the tomatoes partially are grown by you. And I shouldn't, it almost sounds like there's somebody else that comes in and grows the other half. I don't mean that. I mean some of the tomatoes in this jar that have been dehydrated.
I find many things left on my front porch or in front of my shop door. Vegetables are some of them. Rabbits have been in the past. The piglet was in the past. It was left in a cage at my front door while I was going during lunch.
So people that know that you will appreciate what they drop off.
Pretty much. One day was a bucket of turnips.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I don't really have much of a grocery bill between what I grow and then what's dropped off at the house. Now, you know, inside girl in here, I'm introducing her to all sorts of new things.
You've been doing that since you were married, I believe.
I mean, she's probably the only prepper that wears Brighton jewelry, right?
And fingernail polish.
Yeah. Hey, now, wait a minute. There's some pretty preppers out there. There's all kinds of pretty preppers out there.
There are.
You know, and having fingernail polish is, you know, just part of the deal.
Pretty Prepper fingernail polish. That could be a brand right there.
Well, some of it may say Lucite on it, but I don't know. Automotive paint works too. Automotive cherry. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And on, huh?
Yeah.
So not only will you be talking about dehydrating food at our event on April the 14th, you're also going to be setting up a vendor table, kind of a activity booth, and you'll have a lot of things on display food related, but I bet you'll have some other things going on too.
I've been teasing and joking, but I've started assembling a crude Wilmhurst machine, electrostatic generator. In the early days before Tesla, people played with static electricity, and that's what an electrostatic generator does. It makes big charges. Like, you know, if you ever walked across a carpet, wool carpet, wearing cotton socks, and you reached out to touch
and knocked yourself across the room.
Yeah. Yeah,
no doubt.
So
one of the reasons we have wood floors.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun to harness that with Linden jars or Leyden jars.
Leyden jars, yeah.
Yeah. So you take the Tostitos jar and you put some recycled aluminum foil in the inside and the outside, and you have an instant capacitor that will store the charge.
You betcha.
And you get enough of them linked up, then, you know, you could probably
spot weld.
Probably. Or give somebody a real good charge. Here, hold this.
It'll spot weld.
And both of you can do that too, can't you?
Well, the best thing would be with a, what they used to call them things, Don, the early transmitter, spark gaps.
Spark gap transmitters, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can cover 4 megahertz of
noise
spectrum.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Your message always got across no matter what channel the other guy was tuned to.
That's right. And so it'd be a great SOS type thing, as long as you know SOS, Yeah, I used to teach code, and I tell everybody there's three letters you know that you don't know, S, O, and V, and we can work off the rest from that.
Yeah. Well, and then there's E-I-S-H-T-M-O.
Yeah.
That's it.
Most people know the S, the O, and the V.
Yeah.
Just from common practice, you think?
Just hear them. Yeah.
Well, from SOS, you got the
right.
Two. Yeah.
Right.
And the V is the opening of the Mozart's fourth symphony.
It's also a commercial.
Yeah.
For Vanquish.
Okay. So people.
So it's out there in the common knowledge of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's just so you work off from there. And usually in 15 or 20 minutes, I can have most people send in 2-3 words a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it's just practice.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I I will never forget whenever I was copying my very first code exam. The class mentor was John King, and right in the middle of the exam, he reached over and he put his hand on my shoulder, and I about came out of the floor. It scared me to death because I was so focused and so concentrated that I was going to get it right. He started the test over. He started the test over with another test, but started over because he knew he broke my chain of thought. I managed making. It was easy to make 7 words a minute, yeah. But that's how I did it, you know. But he scared the daylights out of me and felt bad about it and restarted the test.
And so, here you are to this day being able to do that.
Well, we don't have to have code anymore to be on the air.
Oh, I guess that's right. Yeah, things have changed.
Yeah, well, I'd like to be able to use it better than knowing EISHTMO.
That should be more better.
Gooder. I'll be an SK before
I was going to say, I hope no English teachers are listening and think you're serious here, folks.
Well, I don't want to be an SK before I wind up not being able to use it at all. Silent key.
You know, I do remember a series of articles about building small CW transmitters.
Oh, yeah.
From surplus and scrap components.
Are you the author of that article?
I could be. Speaking of that, I was at Winter Fair down at Collinsville.
Winterfest, yeah.
And there was a ham there that remember reading of that series of articles out of a newsletter down in Nashville or somewhere, Nashville, Illinois or somewhere.
Well, that must have been you. That was.
Because, I mean, we were talking about it. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, that was my series of 3 articles that started out in Greenville at the Owl Creek Gazette, and I think they just wandered outwards.
Tentacles. Your words have tentacles as they reach out and touch all kinds of lives.
They do. And we found one of our pieces of work actually might have gotten, I don't know if it was hacked or shared or shared hacked or what have you, but it wound up someplace where it shouldn't have been. Because it was shared directly out of the repository in which we put our magazine directly, and to get it printed. So how it got out from there, I have no idea, or who shared it or why. But
I don't either.
Man, one of these days we'll tell John, hey, it's too late, but you've been hacked, dude. So. Yeah,
surprise. So what else do you plan to bring to your table?
Maybe if I get one of my little tube battery-powered tube receivers put together, we can sit around and listen to, I don't know, what's the FM station over here on top of WGL?
WGL, yeah. We, speaking of those things, it was so easy to knock together a little receiver, a crystal radio set, that I think we could probably, show people how to build one on site. Easily,
you can always use a salvage jar.
Mm-hmm. You can use a salvage jar for what you wind the coil on. You can use a razor blade if you've got a blue blade for the detector, or you could just get a crystal out of a box that I've got.
There is
shoebox full of
rusty. Rusty things seem to work because my oldest daughter one day called me into her room. Dad, there's voices coming out of the closet. It was a couple of rusty hangers that touched just so. You could faintly hear the local AM radio talk show. They were actually having a dye-in-the-wool Baptist minister on that morning, preaching hellfire and brimstone. Kayla heard it and was just terrified.
Better than
there,
and you just rattle through and be done with it, than to have it in her teeth, which is where it can happen.
Yeah,
So
there's more than one way to have a detector.
I hear radios in my teeth.
Well, this is interesting because years ago, when my gosh, probably was 13 years old, in my bedroom, I used to swear I heard a radio. Now, and I'd bring mom and dad in, and they're like, "No, there's nothing here, Jan." I'm wondering if something was connecting or touching that I didn't realize.
It's probably your radiator.
Antenna wires.
We had
hot water heat.
Yeah.
So even wires will pick up. That's mm-hmm. how. That's how it went from being bootleg operator to ham radio operator. I had some SIP cord going from my transmitter to my dummy load, and it was laid at the back of the desk, so it was inductively coupling into the house wiring. And so my massive 50-milliwatt signal was radiating out about 60 miles all around the house. So when I'm sitting there sending code to me from the magazine, it was going out to the world, and everybody's trying to RDF me, and I was stopped because of whatever. And it took them several months, but they eventually, you know, you need to get your license.
Excuse me, sir, but you need to get your license.
You've been found. You need to stop doing what you're doing.
So what are some other topics that interest a non-prepper but a cheap individual, as yourself?
Well, see, you know, last time I think we were on the podcast, we were talking about me regenerating back into with muzzle loaders from flint locks to, you know, wheel locks to match locks, and I was working on scratch building. Well, you know, I need to go back a little bit further. So now I'm studying medieval crossbows.
Ooh.
And there is what's the acronym is SCA, Society for something creative acronyms.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a great big chapter just north of Mirala.
Okay.
Ooh. And I know the archery range where they go and practice that because I've been there shooting before with my more modern compound bow. But so starting probably April, I'm going to start looking at them, their reproductions, and looking at their crossbows because on the wheel locks and match locks, it's the same firing mechanism as the crossbows.
Okay. Oh, so okay.
I'm working backwards in history to come forward in history.
Pretty soon you'll be back in the caveman days and you'll be, throwing rocks and rubbing sticks together and making fire.
No, not so much. Maybe a little black powder, you know. Okay. I got black powder that burns but it doesn't flash yet. So.
Well, also you've got fuse.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
And I've taught people how to make slow fuse.
Right.
From just a piece of lead and some vinegar that, you know, and you're kidding. No, this is it really seriously. Wow. Slow match.
Well, part of being, like you refer to yourself as cheap, it is perfect for someone thinking about preserving and conserving and reducing and recycling. I mean, it all fits into that mindset, and I just don't think everybody necessarily thinks of it that way, but you've seen it and lived it right there in your own homestead.
Well, last year, for a week, I was driver and chauffeur for Dr. Paul Kinnett. A lot of people don't. Yeah, go Google.
You can give us a little hint who he is.
Yeah, Dr. Kinnett has a doctor's degree in toxicology. Chemistry.
Okay, toxicological chemistry.
His second largest crusade is the mandatory fluoride that's going on across the world. And he's, you know, along with other groups, they're proving that it's, you know, the ADA basically is lying to us.
And, imagine that.
Yeah, really, the government lies.
You heard it here first, people, on Creekside with Don and Jan.
And yes, so, yeah. But his second mission is zero waste. And so when we were talking, he says, well, Marie tells me you were on a television show about prepping. Mm-hmm. So we went into the whole doomsday preppers thing. No, Dr. Kinnett, I'm not a prepper. I'm just cheap. So we went through the whole thing we talked about. And, you know, so the zero waste movement has a whole lot of similarities to our lifestyles, mm-hmm. you know. And he was amazed to learn that. So, and when he did offer me, he may have forgotten about it by now, but when he gets ready to publish his book, to contact me to submit a chapter.
Cool.
So I'm waiting on that. So Dr. Kinnett, don't forget about me.
Send him a link to this episode, and he can listen to it, be pleasantly reminded, and you're good to go.
Yes.
Well, zero waste is something that I guess we should strive for, but it can be a challenge if it's totally new to you. So like you're saying, and in your article, start small, mm-hmm. look what you can do. Yeah, for instance, the glass jars that don't have to be thrown away.
No. And if you want to get more into zero waste, instead of buying, you know, something that comes in a little jar, like this is a Smucker's jelly spreadable fruit. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the size. 10 ounces, very small jar. You know, you could grow your own raspberries, make your own jelly, and put it in a quart jar. Or you can buy the bigger jar, which of one I don't have here, but they come, Smucker's makes a larger jar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And same thing with the olives. And this is, I don't know.
It's about a 24-ounce jar.
Okay. Or
maybe
but
bigger.
Most people buy little jars of olives. But, you know, this is the bigger one, quart, close to a quart. And that would keep me in olives, I don't know, babe, what, 5 days? 2 days.
Now, I'm an olive fan, but even I can't eat that many in 2 days.
Yeah, a lot of these are canned.
You're Italian, aren't you?
Sicilian, there's a difference.
There's a big difference.
Oh, and I did want to mention, we were watching, speaking of olives, we were watching Sunday morning this morning, and this is off the subject in the sense of what we're talking about here, but I've been known to do that, is take us down a different path.
It's called being tangential about it.
There you go. So, but the olive trees are being threatened by some
bacteria
that a certain bug carries, and there's whole fields that, I guess not fields, orchards, that they are totally destroyed. Trees that have been, you know, 150 years old and have produced all that time are now dying, or they're having to kill some so it doesn't spread.
It's almost the whole boot heel of Italy's.
Yeah. So get your big olive jars while you can, folks.
No doubt. But there, you're talking about olive trees. I saw in social media in the last couple of weeks an olive tree that's estimated to be 3,000 years old and still producing fruit.
Wow.
Let's hope it doesn't get that bacteria.
We need to take a little break here for these important messages. We'll be right back.
Hello from the Tibbetts House Bed, Breakfast, and Books. Just like your favorite novel, we want your stay with us to be warm, familiar, and full of magic. A bed and breakfast with three literary-themed rooms where every night's stay comes with wine and cheese, the option of a full home-cooked breakfast, and a used book from the bookstore. You can find us on our website at thetibbettshouse.com, also on Facebook, or call 618-772-8161.
Hello. My name is Thaddeus Freed, candidate for Salem City Council. In the early part of the 19th century, there was a severe drought in northern and central Illinois. But because of its fertile reserves, southern Illinois became known as Little Egypt, and Salem, the gateway to Little Egypt. Today, our state is in bad shape financially, but Salem, again, is strong. Let's be the leader our state needs and show Springfield there's a better way than higher taxes on the hardest working people in the state.
For more info or to make a donation, please visit me on the web at ThaddeusFreed.com or find me on Facebook at Freed for Illinois, paid for by the Thaddeus Freed Election Committee.
Are you ready to shake the winter cobwebs out of your head? Come celebrate spring at the Turning of the Tide Artisan Retreat. The Artisan Guild of Southern Illinois is sponsoring their second annual retreat on April 27th and 28th, 2019, at the Espen Sheed Chapel in Muskuta, Illinois. Registration is now open for artisan classes in a variety of mediums, such as silk painting, fiber dyeing, jewelry making, tapestry weaving, soap making, paper marbling, polymer clay, and more. Come welcome spring by learning a new craft or two and release your inner artisan spirit. Register now and follow us at turningofthetide.org and on Facebook at Artisan Guild of Southern Illinois. Again, that is turningofthetide.org and on Facebook at Artisan Guild of Southern Illinois. We'd love to see you there.
Hi, this is Roxanne.
And John.
And we're here to let you know that we are the official food vendors for Earth Day.
The Owl Creek Way.
On Sunday, April 14th at Patriots Park here in Greenville, Illinois.
In the pavilion, rain or shine.
We're planning on having wraps, cooking kebabs over an open fire, and all kinds of other goodies for you to purchase while you're enjoying the day. Come on out. We look forward to seeing you. Remember, rain or shine, Sunday, April 14th.
Earth Day.
The Owl Creek Way.
You got it. And we're back. And, you know, as long as we're back here, we were talking about olives before the break and olive oil. We've got something we need to dip in the olive oil here. This guy, Keith, has brought us some sourdough biscuits.
Oh, well.
Or muffins. Or
rolls?
Dink. They're rolls. They're good. I've been sitting here chewing on them. And
well, last night I was...
I'm picking right now.
Here, have an adult beverage.
I got one. Thank you very much.
But, yeah, I got interested with baking earlier in the winter because, you know, it's cold. I don't want to go outside. You know, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of store-bought bread just really makes me GI problems. I don't know why it is. But I can buy the flour, just run-of-the-mill flour, and make my own sourdough bread, and I have no issues. So I've been making loaf bread. I started it.
He's pointing at Amanda, everybody. What started it?
What started it was something was said one day about bread balls.
Bread balls.
Bowls.
Bowls.
Yeah, bread balls.
Otherwise, I thought we were just throwing things at each other.
Georgia dialect there. Bread balls.
Gotcha.
And she says, oh, those are so good. I said, nothing to making them. You know how I make bread balls? Oh, yeah, it's easy. I'm just now finding out about this after, what, 6 years? 5 years? 7 years? Take a pick. Pick a year. So,
my, how time flies when you're having fun.
I know. Every day is an adventure. So while she was at work, I started gathering up stuff to start making bread bowls. And started off doing yeast, and I know how to make my own sourdough starter. So I held back part of the yeast bread dough, and it just went from there. So now we do slicing bread for grilled cheeses. And, one night I was making loaf bread, and she's like, I really don't want no – I want pizza. Hey, no worries. Get out the empty wine bottle, roll it all out. And, hey, look, we got pizza crust. Uh-huh. And so we made – and then we made a couple pizzas. We took one – did we take one to Lori's? No. We took something to Lori's. Anyhow – so now when her friend Lori says, y'all should come. Oh, and have Keith make a loaf of bread. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you unless people learn you bake bread, that's what you bring.
And the less
to the
people
dinner.
Know that you do, the better.
Well, we were
but
over
now
it.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. So now everybody, nominal fee, I bring the bread. Everybody just has the what do you call it?
That's for a phenomenal fee.
Phenomenal. That's when you make a lot more money than nominal. Yeah.
But, and I tell people that, there's benefits to this. You make your bread at home. First of all, like me, if you buy that 98 cent, any of that stuff, it just, all burpy and RP.
Well, and there's just nothing like homemade bread. The smell, the taste, the process.
Texture.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great way to release stress because you can beat on it and yank on it.
Oh, this is why God made dough hooks.
No, see, that's cheating.
Yeah.
We I have my Sunbeam and my dough hooks.
But she has, what's that big red thing? KitchenAid.
Oh, well, I don't have a KitchenAid, but when I grow up, maybe I'll get one.
I bought her one for her anniversary, and she's so proud of it, it's never been used.
Oh, my goodness.
she is so proud. I was listening about using it one day. No! So I'll beat on it and stretch it, but, it's good because, when you look at like a good loaf of bread like Killer Dave's, it's like $5 a loaf.
Mm-hmm.
Any good bread is $5-$6 a loaf. And I figured that all six of these rolls that I made last night, the actual cost on that was around 30 cents.
Think of that. Tastes better. Less expensive.
Better for you.
Better for you, and your house smells good in the process.
And the neat thing about this cold weather, if you're baking bread, you get all this free extra heat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, yeah. It's a benefit. It's
you're talking about grandparents. We're talking about depressions.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember back to my grandparents and my grandmother in the wintertime there, when she got done baking bread, and it's just open the door to the oven and let the heat roll out into the kitchen dining
room. We still do that. Yeah. It just the fact that if we've baked something, that oven comes open afterwards for that exact same reason.
It's a memory, and you have the smell of the bread and everything baking.
And that's really, that's part of life.
And
considering what you used to bake in, in the turn of the century, you had your choice of an oven that was fired by wood, or you had your choice of an oven that had
high
or bread on it, mm-hmm. or because you had no idea what the temperature really was.
And after my divorce, it was a Dutch oven with sticks of wood.
Well, and a lot of old-time recipes don't even have the degree, the temperature that you bake for that same reason. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Put it on a low oven.
Yeah.
A low oven? Do I have to bend over to get to it?
Ba-dum-bum.
But we had some recipes like that the other day, and it was amazing that you could tell when recipes were made because if it was in the 50s, it'll be loaded full of margarine.
Right.
The 40s and 50s is margarine. Prior to that, it was butter. After that,
well, I was going to say probably late 40s.
Yeah,
margarine.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that was a military industrial designation for. We got to do something to replace butter. What
I remember reading, margarine was actually invented in the 30s as a turkey food, and the turkeys are dying from heart attacks.
Wow!
And it was pulled, and when World War II was ramping up, to give the troops in the theaters fresh butter, they brought back margarine for the people here. So here again, the government. Twice.
It's not our friend. Well, and that's interesting since you mentioned on in this March issue of the April issue of the Outkrieg Gazette, we do have all those recipes and they do have margarine. When we look at a recipe like that, we know we can just substitute. It was just someone had sent in their old time recipes and some of them were, you know, didn't have the need for that kind of oil or.
Yeah. And but you can tell when that stuff comes out, when it was thought of or when it was made. It was based solely on what's used. Sometimes it's called oleo.
Yes.
Right.
See, now my favorite essential oil is bacon grease.
You do use a lot of that, don't you? I've noticed that in the recipes you provided. And of course, there again, that is because you have it.
And, well, you know, the whole Southern Appalachian, you know, background roots, you know. So,
but
you might throw away chicken grease, you might throw away beef grease. You never commit the sacrilegious action of throwing away bacon grease.
Pork fat is far too valuable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you use it for too many things besides cooking. You mm-hmm. can grease your grandma's sewing machine with it, you know, whatever.
It was a universally used lubricant mm-hmm. for all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You couldn't put it in your car.
But some people
I suppose you could.
Packing wheel bearings.
If it was hot, you could use it for a time. Yeah, packing wheel bearings in the wintertime. That'd be great. Anyhow, I think we've just about beaten this sucker to death.
I'm just shaking my head at the two of you.
But see, with all the charts, basically here we have everything for a nice stew here. We have peppers, we have tomatoes, we have leeks, we have potatoes, we have squash I just dumped over Jan, and onions. So about the only thing you need is your protein source. Earlier during the commercial break, I cracked the joke about the rock dove or the squirrel and got dirty daggers in my back.
So that's not the meat Amanda wants in her stew.
No. She'd rather have chicken from the store or, you know, pork from the store or not. What was it? Somebody meets us, hands us a box full of stuff. I was doing a presentation. I guess I was dressed not well enough.
I have chickens at home that are packed in ice, packed in solid ice. These suckers require a pressure cooker in order to get anywhere near them with teeth.
Hens.
They were laying hens.
Must have been laying hens.
That quit.
They quit.
So good night.
And they gave their life
for dumplings.
Dumplings. That's right. You started to say though, you must not have been dressed well enough. Was there a more to that story?
Yeah, there was. We were invited out, and I was, you know, doing, you know, hey, but here's how you can save money. Do this. You know, can do this. Don't worry about jars. Setting that's basically what you've heard from me dozens of times. Well, apparently. They must have thought I was rather destitute. Because as we were leaving, they met me at the car with a box of stuff. a semi-frozen chicken. What? And then there was some... A bag of pasta and chicken, frozen chicken dinner. A couple of... bag of frozen carrots, potatoes, onions, and something.
You poor
else.
Thing, you.
Yeah, and actually, it was that box right there, full of stuff, bags of potatoes, and a couple cakes, angel's food cakes. Yeah, and Amanda, they left. And Amanda says, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, how do you say no?"
That's true.
Well, that's exactly right. You can't say no.
We went home. The next day, I made up a batch of bread. Then we got the crock pot out, so we were cooking the bird. And then now it's become, we named the bird Larry. So whenever we talk about chicken, it's Larry Bird.
Oh, took me a minute to put two and two together there. Well, on that note, I think we've just about run our conversation course, haven't we, Don?
Yeah, before it gets too bad, I think we're going to have to go.
We do want to remind people to come out to Patriots Park on April the 14th. You can meet Keeve Lyth. And in person, ask him any question. He'll have an answer.
I'm not Radio Shack.
but you'll have good answers to good questions and a story behind most of them.
Most of them.
That's right.
What do I do with the corrosion on my battery? Well, you just use a little bit of tiny bowl cleaner on it.
Is that color you're drinking right there? Works great. Pour some lid over it.
Yeah, that works too. Tiny bowl works.
Yeah, everybody has a Coke. Yeah,
it's fun working with Keith. We're twin sons from different mothers, uh-huh. And if he would take a walk through my, if he could walk through my garage, he'd be surprised at what he saw.
But I probably have to go on a diet so I could go sideways.
But he would not.
And that's not because you're heavy. That's because our garage is that full.
It's absolutely familiar territory to him. If he were to walk through, he'd go, oh, I did. Yeah,
he'd recognize
okay.
most things.
Everything
yes.
in it, he'd understand what it was and where it come from. Mm-hmm. And that's heartening to know that.
And make something else of it. I'm sure it would like you turn into some. My mom used to say she could make something from nothing. You guys can too.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, you know, we set Second Street on fire a few years ago.
We did. Well, right out front.
Well, parts from a TV.
Remember. In fact, I'll try to find that picture and put it up.
Richard
under
Barth
this.
Was involved in
he
it.
He was.
Too.
He was.
Well, actually,
the fire department was not called.
We didn't set the street on fire, but we set a 2x4 on fire in the street with nothing more than the sun and a Fresnel lens.
That came from a broken TV.
That came from a broken TV. Mm-hmm. And that took how long to set that thing on fire?
Less than a minute.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I think that was June or July. We had good sunlit day.
Yeah. And we had a little tiny breeze, which help fan the flame. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah.
And the hot air that you guys have, too.
We always got hot air.
Yeah, you do. Just saying. I've had my share, too. So.
Poor Richard's not here to defend himself.
That's right. But he'll be at the Earth Day celebration, too, so you're going to all let your hot air.
Hey, you have to bring that Fresno lens.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on the checklist of things to bring as that list grows and grows.
Well, we're thinking about bringing Gertrude, so we'll have plenty of room for stuff to be brought out to play.
That's true. Yeah. We'll fill her up, and then for folks who don't know who Gertrude is, she's a motorhome. Don't worry about us trying to stuff something down a human being.
Now, we may have to find... Gertrude needs valve guide seals and valve guides. Gertrude really needs new heads, but
gas or diesel?
It's gas.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, it's a 454.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, okay,
but it's with this old man laying on his belly doing it. That ain't easy.
Oh well, yeah, the head's at the top. It's not at the bottom.
I know.
It's not,
I get to lay on carpet.
It's not BF-109, right?
I get to lay on carpet. I understand, but still.
Well, how about this? If it's that easy, we'll talk after the show. Okay. Thanks for joining us, Keith, and we'll see you on the pages of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Okay, and pick what you want.
Okay, and we're going home with tomatoes and
leeks.
Dried grapes and leeks. Yes, folks.
Y'all take care now.
Night, everybody.
Bye-bye.